Today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On Sabres podcast, your Monday edition of the show. Joe DiBiase flying solo here, recording on this fine Monday night. Currently watching a little Avalanche and Blues. It is 1-0 Colorado in the second period. Give you a little bit of a time sense of when I'm doing the show here, following a couple of other playoff games that happened between Nashville, Carolina, and Boston and Washington on Monday night. So we'll talk some playoffs here on today's show, and I do have a thought on Jack Eichel and not necessarily the ins and outs, the details, the mechanics of the actual trade that we're going to be talking about all off season, destinations, packages, but more so why we're not hearing much of a debate on the Jack Eichel trade idea. I'll get into that a little bit, and actually a bunch, in the second half of today's show. I do want to go through some playoff stuff. I've got a former Sabre in the playoff team, a team comprised of Sabres that are currently in the playoffs for other teams. So that's a little exercise I think we'll have some fun with later on in the back half of the first segment. I do have an idea for the National Hockey League in the playoffs that the NBA is trying out. If you've not seen the NBA's play-in format, it is awesome, and I think the NHL needs to go to it on a full-time basis. I'm not even sure if the NBA is going to it on a full-time basis, but I do know that they're doing it this season. I think they're doing it year-to-year, so I'm not sure, though. And then a recap, really, of what we've seen in the playoffs so far. I did my picks with Tom Gazzola, my Locked On NHL partner, on Friday's episode. So if you missed my predictions for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can find those in Friday's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast. As always, if you want to check us out on Twitter, I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan Hanskin is at JR Hanskin. The podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. Thank you to everybody who's been participating in our locker rooms on the Locker Room app. If you don't have it yet, be sure to download and join us the next time we go live. I'll be releasing more details of when I go live next on my Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. So that'll be something to look out for. We were the fifth largest growing. So we had the fifth most growth among any sports channel across all four of the major sports. So looking at that list, in fact, let me pull it back up right now, because you had some big market, big sport teams. Going from 1 to 10, you had a lot of WNBA actually in here. I know WNBA just got going on the Locker Room app, so that might have been why it was, you know, fastest growing fan bases on Locker Room. But number one, you had the Golden State Warriors. I mean, San Francisco, Oakland, like California, the Warriors, the NBA, like one of the biggest fan bases still left, I'm sure, in the United States for all of sports. They were number one. New York Liberty, Seattle Storm, 2 and 3 from the WNBA. The Los Angeles Lakers at number four. I mean, obviously, like, the Lakers. And then there's Buffalo Sabres at number five. I mean, that's awesome to see. And then the Dodgers, the Sharks, the Seattle Mariners, the Los Angeles Angels, the Minnesota Wild. So as you can see, a lot of California in there. Warriors at one, LA Lakers at four, LA Dodgers at six, San Jose Sharks at seven, LA Angels at nine, and then, well, that's it for California. So the fact that Buffalo is just sandwiched in there at number five, really proud to see everybody hopping on the Locker Room app, because we're having fun with it. You know, not like it's even something you need to be supporting. It's something that you would want to use. If you don't enjoy it, you know, don't do it. But being able to just hang out with a bunch of other Sabre fans and yell at each other, there hasn't been a ton of that yet. I think we're all kind of getting comfortable with each other so far. But I think the dream is that I'll be hosting the room, and I'll just kind of be sitting back watching Matt and Jonathan just yell at each other for 20 minutes about Eichel or about trades or about the team itself, and then I'll put them back in the waiting room to calm down, and then you'll get, you know, Scott and James yelling at each other. You know, that's a dream, and I think we're headed there slowly but surely. So again, download the locker room app if you haven't done so yet. Okay, the NBA play-in format. If you've not seen this, this is something the National Hockey League needs to do. So in the NBA play-in format, there's the 7 and the 8, the 9 and the 10 seeds in each conference. And typically, NBA, very similar to the NHL, they would have the 7 and the 8 seed would make the playoffs, the 7 would play the 2, the 8 would play the 1, the 9 and 10 would not make the playoffs. Pretty straightforward. Well, what the NBA is doing now is they're giving the 9 and the 10 seeds a chance to get in, while also making it harder for them to get in than the 7 and the 8, and getting some pretty damn good content out of it and being able to sell that. I mean, the NBA has been the most progressive, the most creative, the most forward-thinking sports league in the last 10 years, and it's a great an idea like this. I mean, it's not a surprise that it's coming from them. Doesn't mean the NHL can't be followers in this regard, because I think they absolutely should. So the format is, the 7 plays the 8. So, like, for instance, the Lakers are the 7 and the Warriors are the 8. They will play Wednesday night. The winner of the 7-8 matchup will become the 7 seed. They will advance to the playoffs, they will be the 7, and they will play the 2 seed. The 8 seed loses, but they're not dead yet. Then you'll have the 9 and the 10 play. So Memphis and San Antonio, for instance, in the NBA Western Conference are going to play on Wednesday night also. The loser of the 9-10 matchup is dead. They're out. Your season is over. But the winner of the 9-10 matchup will play the loser of the 7-8 matchup for the right to be the 8 seed. So if the Warriors lose to the Lakers, let's say the Warriors lose, they're in the 7-8 game, and San Antonio wins in the 9-10 game, then Golden State and San Antonio will then play for the winner to make the playoffs as the 8 seed. I mean, isn't that is unreal. It keeps it fair also, because it's weighted, but you're also getting a third game out of it. So it's like it's just perfect all around. It adds an extra element to making the playoffs. It gives you another thing to watch, to care about, to have fun enjoying, more content to consume. It gives you 3 games instead of 2, and in doing so, it makes it so that the 7 and the 8 seed are still being rewarded over the 9 and the 10. So I'm a huge fan of this. I think the NHL should absolutely do this. Among all the sports, the NHL should definitely do this. You could argue football and baseball should do it too, but I'm sticking for hockey here. Hockey absolutely should do something like this. And hockey's usually been willing to try on creative stuff, so I'm hoping that they'll get to this at some point. And maybe if the NBA is successful, then the NHL will decide to do it as well. Just kind of looking through the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, it's just a couple of headlines to go through. It's so awesome to see an almost full crowd in Carolina for Game 1 against the Predators on Monday night. Every game had some fans, at least 4,000, at least on Monday, I think. Maybe in all the whole playoffs, you've had at least 4,000. But Carolina with 12,000 in the stands. I mean, just the energy, the towels, the storm surge at the end of it. That is something that's been sorely missed. I actually had that thought last weekend when there was a huge boxing match in Dallas between Canelo Alvarez and the guy he actually fought is escaping me right now. But big Canelo Alvarez fight, and Canelo at one point waves his arms in the air and he gets the crowd into it, and it's like a packed 70,000 seat stadium at Cowboy Stadium that was full. And just that roar of the crowd was something that I don't think we'd heard that magnitude of in over a year. And it was so good to hear. And here was the hockey version in Carolina with the Hurricanes. 12,000 fans. They are making it so hard to not root for them. I am telling you, though, I am trying not to root for the Hurricanes with every fiber of my being. They are fun. They are good. They don't care what you think of them. Everything you would want. I mean, they're doing right now. But I'm resisting. They did beat Nashville. They're probably going to smoke Nashville. They won game one 5-2. So that's what was going on in Carolina. In Boston, well, in Washington, I guess, the Bruins tie the series at 1 with their win on Monday night. Taylor Hall keeps producing. He gets a game-tying goal with 2:49 to play. He is now up to, if you include the postseason, 9 goals and 6 assists in 18 games for the Bruins, scoring clutch playoff goals. Not a surprise. I'm not surprised, at least. I'm sure some Sabre fans are surprised after seeing what he did here, but I was not surprised in the slightest. Brad Marchand wins the game in overtime, 39 seconds in. That series is tied at 1 apiece. Marchand, by the way, I mean, typical Brad Marchand form. No one would be surprised by this if you didn't see the game. Punches a guy in the nuts. So I'm sure there's a $5,000 fine coming there and nothing more, because that's just how the NHL does it. So that's what's going on in the Boston-Washington series. Vegas dominates Minnesota in game one, but Minnesota wins it in overtime, 1-0. An incredible performance by Cam Talbot in that 42-save shutout. And the game-winning goal in overtime, former Sabre Marcus Foligno, great forecheck to create a turnover that leads to the Joel Eriksson Ek goal. Foligno has had an awesome season for Minnesota, a career year, really, by putting the puck in the back of the net. And he was the hero for game one, creating that goal. Foligno had 11 goals in 39 games played. For context, Foligno's career high in goals for a season was 13 with the Sabres in 2017, 13 goals in 80 games. He had 11 goals in 39 games this past year, so about a 24-goal pace for over an 82-game season. He was unreal with a 27% shot percentage. In fact, it is very reminiscent of his first season. Remember his first season? Marcus Foligno shows up, 6 goals, 7 assists, 13 points, and 14 games played on that line with Tyler Ennis and Drew Stafford. Shooting, by the way, very similar, 26%. He basically was rookie Marcus Foligno this season, and the play he makes in game one shows how good he's been this year. It wasn't him scoring, but he created the goal. So Minnesota leads that series 1-0. It's pretty much the basis of what's going on in the playoffs right now. Running through an all-Sabre playoff team real quick, composed of former Sabres that are currently in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I have a line one of Ryan O'Reilly, Joel Armia, and Taylor Hall. Line two, JT Compheer on the Colorado Avalanche, which, by the way, I am watching that game as I'm doing the show here. And Colorado is the biggest series favorite, I think I saw, since the Sabres in 07 against the New York Islanders. The Sabres were minus 600 in that series. Colorado is the biggest favorite. And they're only up 1-0 5 minutes ago in the second period here, but they are all over St. Louis. Like, this series is going to be over quick. Where was I? JT Compheer is playing in this game. He's a second-line center with the previously mentioned Marcus Foligno on the wing and Zach Cassian. Foligno and Cassian played together at the World Juniors, a little chemistry there maybe. Marcus Johansson centering line three with Dominic Cahoon and Connor Sherry. Cahoon on the Oilers is going to open the playoffs on Connor McDavid's left wing. I mean, that guy. We were all mad when the Sabres let him go for nothing. He's had a pretty good year. He hasn't been unbelievable. He's been pretty good, which I think that's what Dominic Cahoon was always expected to be. And he's going to open the playoffs on line one with McDavid. Connor Sherry on the Capitals. Fourth line, Eric Staal of the Montreal Canadiens with Wayne Simmonds. Yes, former Sabre Wayne Simmonds, even though it was 7 games last year. And then Will Carrier, now longtime Golden Knights forward, on the fourth line. On the defense, Braden McNabb and Brandon Montour. Montour, been getting criticized a lot, I've seen, in Florida for just turning the puck over repeatedly. Braden McNabb, obviously still on the Vegas Golden Knights. Marco Scandella, Nathan Beaulieu is pairing number two. Bogosian, or Beaulieu on the Jets. Scandella on the Blues. And then line three, pair three, Chad Ruedel, still on the Penguins. Still on the Penguins. He's been there forever. And then Zach Bogosian, who is currently on the Maple Leafs, on the third pair. Oh, look, St. Louis tying the game. This is how St. Louis is going to do it, though. They're getting outshot 30-14, and they have the games tied 1-1. So, yeah. Goaltending for this former Saber playoff team. Robin Leonard is the starter. He's in Vegas. He's actually not starting. Fleury is starting. If you remember last year, I was hot. I was heated about Robin Leonard not playing over Marc-Andre Fleury in a few games because Leonard had clearly been the better goaltender. This year, Leonard's been good, but Fleury has been unreal. Fleury's been a top five, top 10 goalie this season. So he definitely is in the right to be starting. But Leonard would still be the Sabres team's goalie with Yaroslav Halak, because of course, and Jonas Johansson, who's currently on Colorado, splitting duties. Other Sabres that didn't make this team for me: Curtis Lazar, who's on the Bruins, Evan Rodriguez on the Penguins, Tyler Ennis on the Oilers, and then Michael Frolik on the Canadiens. Paul Byron also on the Canadiens. All right, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, I got a thought on the Jack Eichel trade and why we're not really seeing a debate about whether or not the Sabres should trade him. That's after this here on the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has always given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I mean, do I need to say any more? Are we good? No? 18 amazing flavors for the delicious Built Bar. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the 6 new flavors to go along with your 12 original flavors. Peanut butter brownie, definitely my favorite of the original flavors. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. But Built Bar, great for the healthy conscious guy as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. And if you want an example, peanut butter flavor, that's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. A word for BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Saber games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly 2, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly 2. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. You can go follow me there. A lot of Bills tweets as well as Sabres. I wanted to get into something on Jack Eichel here because it strikes me that we're a week in to full steam Jack Eichel offseason trade mode because of the press conference that he held last Monday. And, you know, I think a week in, I'm not hearing a lot. You know, and this is between what I see on Twitter, what I heard from our locker room, people responding there, what I've seen working at WGR in Buffalo, callers and whatnot. And Twitter, of course, is a good measuring stick for this. Reddit also. I'm not getting a good sense that there are two sides of this debate. You know, there could even be three sides. It's a spectrum. There would be one side where there's just really angry fan that wants to trade Eichel at all costs because he's just done no winning here and he's the problem. There is the more moderate. There's the more moderate crowd that I think I would like to consider that I'm in, where yes, an Eichel trade maybe is the most likely outcome and is a realistic idea, but you're only going to do it if you're going to get insane value. So this Kings offer I'll reference again, which I've referenced many times, the Alex Turcott, Quentin Byfield, 2 first-round pick offer. That is not real, but it's been speculated that that would be what the Kings would offer. So there's that moderate fan that's in the middle. Like, yeah, I'm okay trading him, but it's got to be for a haul. It's got to be for a ton. And then I feel like there should be another side, but I don't know how. I'm not really hearing a lot from them. It is this the crowd of don't trade Eichel no matter what. And you would think for a player that is this good, you would be hearing more. You would be hearing screams of you don't trade this guy at all. Because he is 24 years old, he is one of the best centers, a top 5 center in the sport, and he's under contract for 5 more years. Like, no, you're not moving him. What are you, crazy? Like, that thought has got to be out there. Eichel, I mean, he's one of the 5 most talented Sabres ever. Is that fair to say? I mean, Perreault and LaFontaine and Hasek. How many more can you really argue are more talented than Jack Eichel? And a good measuring stick for that is look to last season when Eichel was one of the favorites to win the Hart Trophy by the midpoint of the year. Had the Sabres been a playoff team last season, Eichel probably wins the Hart Trophy. And think about Sabre history. And how few Sabres have ever even been in the MVP race, let alone won it. Hasek is the only one to win the Hart Trophy as the league's MVP. He won it twice, obviously, in the late 90s. But other than that, like, LaFontaine finished third once in 1993. He put up 148 points, but, I mean, everybody was putting up insane points that year. Lemieux probably had, like, almost 200, I think. And Perreault finished fifth in 1973, but Perreault even himself never finished higher than fifth in the MVP odds. So Eichel is definitely a player that is capable of winning that trophy. And if the team were to ever have some success, a surprise year, he probably would win it. Where's the fan that says no to 4 pieces that haven't played in the NHL? Even that Kings offer, which seems to be the best the Sabres could possibly do at this point. Conceivably, that seems like the best they could do. Quentin Byfield, Alex Turcotte, 2 first-round picks. Where's the fan that says, no, I am not trading my top 5 centermen at 24 years old for 4 pieces that haven't played in the NHL? And you know, like I know, Byfield's played a couple of games, and Turcotte even, I think, played a couple of games. But really, for the most part, those guys are not NHL players yet. Like, they project to be, maybe even next season, but they've not done it yet, and the picks are picks. So where's the fan that doesn't want to just acquire unproven commodities? I think that segment of the fan base is out there, but just can't muster the energy to have a debate back and forth. Because at some level, who wants to defend the guy that hasn't done anything but lose with this team, right? And who wants to pour energy into thinking about a team and arguing about a team that has missed the playoffs 10 years in a row when it's 70 and sunny out and the football team cross town is a Super Bowl contender, right? Like, who wants to do that right here and now? So if you're out there and you're that guy, you're that girl that wants to yell from the mountaintop, no, never trade Jack Eichel. Where's team never trade Jack Eichel? I want to hear from you, because I don't feel like I've heard a lot from that segment of the fan base. Maybe there isn't much of that segment of the fan base. And I think the coming months will really determine whether or not that my read of that is true. I think once they trade him, we'll definitely get a sense of whether or not that's true. If they trade him, because I think I told you last week, I'm starting to fade on the idea that they actually will trade him. I think I was at 95% they will trade him last Monday, and when I say they trade him, this offseason, I mean, they'll trade him. I was 95% last Monday, probably like 65% on Friday. Today, probably like 60%. Every day that passes, I feel like I'm more and more confident that it won't happen until next offseason, if at all. So, just my thoughts there. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode. Hopefully, Jordan Hanskin, I think, is planning to rejoin me on tomorrow's episode, so stay tuned for that. We have not got Jordan's picks yet for the playoffs. He made them, so they're not going to be influenced by the early games here. We'll keep talking playoffs on the next couple of shows. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for our next Locker Room. I'll let you know when that's going to be. And we'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And real quick, actually, before I go, just a quick reminder, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes every day with the Locked On Today podcast. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, our local experts weigh in on who should win the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Head Coach of the Year in the NBA. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow.